This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Shanning and Julian. Now, with all the focus on digitalization, you'd be forgiven for associating piracy with the theft of music or films. But traditional piracy of the armed robbery and abduction at sea variety still does exist, and it's a test of ASEAN's collective maritime security efforts. Now, this issue was thrown into the spotlight about 2 weeks ago when five Indonesian fishermen were abducted off the coast of Sabah by a group of kidnappers linked to the Abu Sayyaf group.
And the Indonesian government reportedly rebuked Malaysian authorities for the lack of coordination following the incident. At present, enforcement of security in the Sulu waters is governed by the Trilateral Cooperation Agreement, or the TCA, between Malaysia, Indonesia and the Philippines. And former Defence Minister and opposition MP Dato' Hishamuddin Hussein also called out his successor for failing to strengthen the TCA, which is an initiative established under the previous administration.
And last week, Defence Minister Muhammad Sabu held meetings with his counterpart in Indonesia, Prabowo Subianto, where they discussed the state of defence cooperation, including the TCA, among other issues. So the question is, has Mat Sabu succeeded in smoothing over any ruffled feathers with Indonesia on this matter? And actually, what is the level of our shared maritime security at this moment?
So for a better understanding of the dynamics at play, we have on the line with us Dr. Ashura Saleh, an independent consultant specialising in maritime security affairs. Thank you for joining us this morning, Dr. Ashura. So what is the threat level of piracy or militant activity around Malaysia and in our regional neighbours' waters? Which area faces the highest risks in your assessment?
Thanks very much for having me. Well, regionally, I feel that there has been a slight increase in piracy and armed robbery incidents in Asia. According to RECAT, which is the Regional Cooperation Agreement on Combating Piracy and Armed Robbery, there has been an 8% rise in these incidents in 2019 as compared to the year before. And in terms of areas that face the highest risk, I feel that we should be looking at the Sulu and Celebes Seas, which is just off Malaysia's state of Sabah. And primarily, this is because stability in this area is absolutely critical, not just for Malaysia, but also for the wider regional and economic security. We've got Malaysia, Indonesia, and the Philippines, as you mentioned, that border these seas. But also along these seas, we've got $40 billion worth of cargo passing through every single year. And although only two incidents of kidnapping took place in these waters last year, the threat of kidnapping is still very real. In fact, recently, as you mentioned, there was a recent event where eight fishermen were being kidnapped off Lahad Datu in Sabah. Three of them were released, but the other five still remain in hostage, probably in Sulawesi Island in Sulu.
And do you think that the present arrangements between the countries of the region are adequate?
I currently feel that they are, because the trilateral cooperative arrangement was just signed in 2017 between these three countries. And it began as trilateral maritime patrols, but it then evolved to have an air patrol component as well. And they also have a strong intelligence sharing mechanism to it as well. And this has only been 3 years since the signing of the arrangement. So I feel that it is quite adequate. And on top of that, we've got other frameworks as well. We've got the Southeast Asia Cooperation and Training Exercise, SEACAT, Southeast Asia Maritime Law Enforcement Initiative, SIMLAE, US ASEAN Maritime Exercises, and all these frameworks continuously help our region's maritime law enforcement agencies build their skills and give them more capacity in trying to tackle and apprehend perpetrators at sea. We've got the ASEAN Maritime Forum as well, which I think offers a strong opportunity to strengthen collaboration and shared awareness between our region's maritime agencies.
But the question is, how effective have these efforts been? Because there was this case of this kidnapping, right? I mean, otherwise it wouldn't have happened otherwise.
So if we were to take a wider picture, statistically speaking, in 2016, prior to the signing of the agreement, there were 18 incidents in the Sulu and Celebes Seas. And in 2017, this dropped to 7 after the agreement signing. 2018, it went down to 3. 2019, it went down to 2. But then this is not enough to say that the only indicator of the effectiveness of this agreement is in the number of piracy and armed robbery incidents. This agreement was formed to strengthen collaboration, and so we should look into whether or not collaboration has been strengthened. And I think this has been happening. In fact, right after this kidnapping incident, as you mentioned, Malaysian authorities such as the Eastern Sabah Security Command, ESCOM, immediately coordinated with their counterparts in southern Philippines. And you also have the Indonesian Foreign Ministry coordinating with the Philippine government on the rescue. So if anything, I think this is a demonstrated success of the TCEA in its ability to enhance collaboration and rapid response to kidnapping incidents.
And Dr. Ashura, is there any involvement by the big superpowers like the United States and China? And also for China, their position is quite sensitive as well, given their ambitions in the South China Sea.
In terms of piracy and armed robbery incidents, China doesn't really play a strong role in capacity building. But the United States is increasingly playing a stronger role in trying to help the regional states in enhancing their skill sets. As I mentioned, the U.S. actually led the CCAT exercise and also the U.S.-ASEAN maritime exercise. And these exercises focused on conducting scenarios such as apprehending perpetrators at sea, boarding, seizing vessels. So increasingly, we're getting extra-regional powers playing a stronger role in helping equipping the region states in tackling piracy and armed robbery.
So, Dr. Ashura, what kind of challenges or disputes commonly crop up between ASEAN countries when it comes to issues of maritime security? And could you shed some light on how they're usually resolved?
Yeah, sure. Maritime security is the responsibility of all countries within ASEAN. I think the TCEA is a recognition of this. You know, TCEA has identified as common maritime threat, piracy and armed robbery, and it's identified the key actors that need to work together to counter that: Philippines, Indonesia, and Malaysia. And so we have incidents in the Sul and South Seas increasingly being jointly tackled. But then again, as with all maritime regions that are very close to one another, we have overlapping exclusive economic zones, which can then lead to maritime border disputes. But then ASEAN per se has a strong desire to want to work together to try to resolve these disputes through mechanisms provided by the International Court of Justice. And in fact, this has demonstrated our ability to resolve disputes amicably. Some examples are the Sipadan and Ligitan Island of Malaysia, and also the Pedra Branca between Singapore and Malaysia. Another more logistical challenge is the fact that there is lots of sea out there. There's a huge wide expanse of the sea, which can make it very difficult for our maritime law enforcement agencies to develop a full awareness of what is happening in the maritime environment off their borders. And there are issues such as budget restrictions and different levels of enforcement capabilities that can hamper coordination between states. But again, this is we have regional coordinating frameworks like TCEA, which was set up to tackle this very reason. They're able to combine and synergize these capabilities to help all states work together to better tackle common maritime security threats. But last but not least, I think a major challenge that comes up is the fact that we tend to forget that the root cause of maritime security threats always take place on land. Militant and piracy activities is an outcome of instability rooted in political and economic grievances. And these grievances need to be addressed not just by the naval and coast guard forces, but also in coordination with the government, private industries, community leaders. I'm a strong advocate of a whole-of-society approach where all groups in society need to be aware of the presence of these threats and to work together. And I think in doing so, we'll be able to continuously support the TCEA and bring permanent peace to our region.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ashura, for speaking to us this morning. That was Dr. Ashura Saleh, an independent consultant specialising in maritime security affairs. Now, we are about to head into the 8 o'clock news now, but don't go away because after that we'll be having the Breakfast Grill where Roshan Kanisen speaks with Eric Cheng, CEO of Carsum. So be sure to stay tuned for that conversation after the 8 o'clock news bulletin, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.